So we're going to be looking just for a few minutes now at Matthew chapter 2, that passage that Avian's just read for us. You know, at Christmas time there are lots of things going on and everyone has different jobs, we've all got different roles, I think in most families. And in my family I have one of the most important jobs. It's a really big job. My job, or one of my jobs, is collecting up the wrapping paper and the packaging as the presents are unwrapped. It's a big job because you've perhaps noticed that whatever size pile of presents you have, it produces a bigger pile of wrapping paper and packaging. It's one of the mysteries of life. That's Christmas presents. You have to strip away loads of wrapping paper and loads of packaging to get to what matters most. But that isn't true just of presents. There is loads and loads of stuff that goes with Christmas. And like the wrapping paper, it all looks very nice, it's very attractive, but we have to strip it away to get to what matters most. And what is that? What is it that matters most about Christmas? When we strip away the cards, take away the tree, remove the decorations, get rid of the Christmas jumpers and the presents and the food and the carol singing, what are we left with? All those things are great, but when you take them away, like the packaging and the wrapping, what are we left with? What is the heart of Christmas? Well, the answer is Jesus. The baby who was born just over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. So in these few minutes I've got at this point in our carol service, I want to zoom in and focus on Jesus. Just who is he? And how should we respond to him? Is celebrating his birth in the way we in the West traditionally do at Christmas, is that all that is needed? And as I said, I'm going to try and answer those questions with the help of the passage that was just read from Matthew's Gospel. So I've just got two things to say tonight, two main points. And firstly, we need to get straight on who Jesus is. And the first point is that Jesus rules. Jesus rules. There are three titles used of Jesus in this passage. Firstly, he is King of the Jews. Verse 2 says, this is the Magi, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Now, in chapter 1, obviously, which we haven't read, the previous chapter, Matthew went to great length to establish that Jesus is descended from King David, the most famous of all Jewish kings. God had promised that David would have a descendant who would reign forever. We had this verse earlier, one of the most famous Christmas readings, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So Jesus has come as that promised king. He's come to be king over God's people. But the rest of the Bible makes clear that he will reign over the whole earth. It won't just be over that little bit of land that's called Israel then or now. Yeah, he's King of the Jews, but he's come to fulfill the promises that David would have a descendant who would be king of the whole earth. So firstly, we've seen that Jesus rules, and that under that heading we can say he is the King of the Jews. But we need to be clear what we mean when we talk about a king. And the second title that's given to Jesus in this passage does just that. It tells us that he is a ruler. Verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler. How does that help us? Well, it clarifies that by king, the Bible doesn't mean someone like our queen. You know, our queen is the head of state, but she doesn't actually govern the country. You couldn't call our queen a ruler. Yep, she's queen. If her father was king, but they're not rulers. But Jesus is a ruler. Jesus hasn't just come to look splendid at official functions. Jesus hasn't come just to look cute in a manger. Jesus has come to rule. Jesus has come to have all power and all authority throughout the whole world. The people in this world are in rebellion against God. Jesus has come to step in and say, no, God rules. To reassert God's authority. He's come to rule. But what sort of ruler is he? I mean, we've got all sorts of rulers around our world. What sort of ruler is Jesus? Well, the third title given to him answers that question. He is a shepherd. He is a shepherd. The end of verse 6, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. At the moment, our world seems to be particularly full of rulers who have great power but are tyrannizing their people. We seem to have a particularly unsavory lot of rulers around our world at the moment. But Jesus has come to be a shepherd. Okay, let's just whiz through those. I think we've got the title up. There's Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Do we get the next? The heading? I'm not sure. Well, if we get the heading, it's Jesus rules. He's the king of the Jews. He is a ruler. He is a shepherd. But you see, Jesus hasn't come to tyrannize. Jesus has come to be a shepherd. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. You could say he rules them, but he does so in a way that's intended to care for them and to protect them and to lead them in the way that is best for them. So this title speaks of the sort of ruler Jesus is. He's come to actually care for his people. That care is spoken of at the end of the previous passage, again, one we didn't hear tonight, but a familiar passage where Joseph was told, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save, he will rescue his people from their sins. Jesus has come to save his people, to rescue his people from their wrongdoing, to make a way for them to be forgiven for their rebellion against God. And amazingly, he did that by living a perfect life, then by dying in the place of his people on the cross to take the punishment they deserved. Jesus famously said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, what a king. What a ruler. What would we give to have a ruler over our country, over our parts of our world, who cares for their people, who cares for them as a good shepherd cares for his sheep? A ruler who is even prepared to die to save his people. But that is who Jesus is. So how do we respond to Jesus who has come to rule? How do you and I respond when he's come to rule in our life? He's come to rule over the whole world. Well, Matthew then asks the question, does Jesus rule in your life? That's my second heading. Does Jesus rule in your life? There are three characters or groups of characters in this passage who all come to hear what I've just shared with you, that the promised king has come, the promised ruler has come, the one who will shepherd has come. But how are they going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to that news? The first one is King Herod. King Herod claimed to be the king of the Jews. Now, as far as the politics of it went, he was the king of the Jews. He had been appointed, he'd been confirmed in office by more than one Roman emperor. But he wasn't a descendant of David. He wasn't actually even a Jew. As far as God was concerned, he was not the rightful king. He was ruling where he had no right to rule. And when the true ruler appears, he is disturbed. And as subsequent events show, he tries to put the rightful ruler to death. To him, the coming of Jesus into the world is seen as a threat to his rule. Now, Herod is, of course, a real person in human history. But he's also a perfect picture of a person in rebellion against God. Jesus has been born at Christmas to be the ruler of your life. But just as in the case of Herod, the throne is currently occupied. In our case, self is on the throne. The heart of every person born into this world is in rebellion against God. And this is the basic issue at Christmas. Who is on the throne of your life? A king has been born. Is he going to be king on your throne, on your life? Will you submit to King Jesus? Jesus was born to be king. Will you let Jesus take control? You know, Herod got one thing right. Herod was clear what was at stake. So the first question that King Herod puts to us is this: is Jesus a threat to you? Then the second group are the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders knew all the answers. You know, Herod asked them a question. He summons them all and he asked them, look, where's the Messiah? Where's the promised Christ? Where's the promised King going to be born? And the answer he gets is faultless. They quote from the prophet Micah, the prophet that John read earlier from. And they said, in Bethlehem in Judea. And they quote word for word the prophet. They have the answers. But actually, they aren't interested in the king. For them, it's just head knowledge. You know, at this time of year, it's probably the only time of year, you can hear excellent Christian teaching being sung in carols all over the place. Hark the herald angels sing, O little town of Bethlehem, we've sung them. We're going to be singing later once in Royal David City. You hear them outside churches as well as in churches, and the words are fantastic. They all brilliantly explain what Christmas is about. But how does it affect most people? Well, just goes in one ear and out the other ear. But what about you? Have you submitted? Some of you are visitors. It's fantastic to welcome you. Some of you are here every week. Some of you were brought up in homes where the Bible was taught. That's brilliant, but it will do you no use if it doesn't affect your heart as well as your head. It's a matter of the will, not just the mind. A matter of the heart, not just of the head. You need to know the truth. The Magi had to find the answer. But then you have to act on the truth and accept the rule of Jesus. When you hear the truth, the king has been born, you have to say, I submit to him as my king. I will obey King Jesus' will as it's revealed in his book, the Bible. So if Herod asks the question to us, is Jesus a threat to you? Then the Jewish leaders ask us the question, is Jesus just a story to you? But there's a third group, aren't there? The most famous group in this passage, the Magi. Just before we consider the response of the Magi, we need to sort out a few things. The Magi, you know, are some of the most mysterious people in the Bible. Now, who were they? And this star which led them to Bethlehem, what did they see? Well, the term Magi loosely covered a wide variety of men who were interested in dreams, in astrology, in magic books thought to contain mysterious references to the future, and things like that. Some Magi honestly inquired after the truth. Many were frauds. Now, the ones in this passage were certainly wise men, but that's because of what they did, not because Magi had to be wise men. There is, I'm sad to tell you, absolutely no reason whatsoever for calling them kings. And the only grounds for thinking there were three of them is because they brought three gifts, which, of course, doesn't prove anything. I'm afraid We Three Kings of Orient are is the stuff of fiction, not of fact. We know very little about them. We know they came from the East, but the East is a big place. And quite what they saw in the sky and how it guided them is still a matter of debate. In short, we know very little about them. But surely that is deliberate, because Matthew skates over that and rapidly focuses on the truth that matters about them. They say, "We have come to worship him." The Magi knew little about the one-born king of the Jews. They came to Jerusalem as the obvious place to start looking for a king. It was the capital city. But the important thing is that they acted on the little they knew. They had every disadvantage. It wasn't easy. We imagine the journey must have been long and probably difficult. And when they got there, they found a humble home, not a palace. Surely this can't be the place for a king. I mean, Jesus didn't look promising, but with God's help, they believed and they submitted. And that is what worship means here. It means paying homage. It means bowing down before a superior. They recognized that this little child was indeed the King of the Jews, the one who was going to reign over the whole world, and they bowed down before him and they adored him. So the question they pose to us is this: is Jesus someone you bow down to and worship? Is Jesus someone you bow down and worship? Perhaps some of you here, I can hardly see you, let alone know you, perhaps some of you here know little about the Bible's teaching. Maybe this is the first time you've been to an occasion like this. Maybe you feel a bit out of place. Maybe everybody else seems very familiar with what goes on here, and you, well, it's all new to you. Well, take encouragement from the Magi. Don't worry about what you don't know. The key thing is to act on what you do know. You know that Jesus has been born. You know that he's been born to rule over the whole world. You know that includes your life. You know he is a good ruler. He's a shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He lays down his life for them. You know he can be trusted. You know he has been born to save you from your sins, from all those wrong things in your life, to forgive you for your rebellion against God. Believe it and act on it. So what response is appropriate to the birth of Jesus? Sure, come along to a carol service, sing carols, that's great. But given that he is God come down to rule over this whole world, the only appropriate response is to pay him homage, to bow down before him, to bow our stubborn wills before him and acknowledge him as king over our lives. And wonderfully, when we do that, we find that he is also our savior. All our sins, our rebellion against God is forgiven. And Jesus is our shepherd who guides us and leads us through life till he brings us safely to heaven. If you do submit to Jesus as your Lord and rejoice that he is your Savior, you have found what really matters at Christmas. When the trees, when the cards, when the food, when the decorations are all long gone, Jesus will still be with you, your King, your ruler, your shepherd. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the most wonderful thing about Christmas, which is that Jesus came, that God became man. And he came down to be king, to rule. But Lord, what a wonderful ruler, a shepherd, who cares for us, who's willing to die so that we might be saved, to die so that we might be forgiven, so that heaven might be open to us. Father, I pray that you'd give grace and help to each one of us. Not to be like Herod, who says this is a rival who must be get rid of. Not to be like the leaders, who we know it all, but we do nothing about it. But to be like the Magi, who come and bow down and worship and say, "Jesus, you are King in my life." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.